This is the Catholic Movie Guide Podcast.
All right, we are back on the Catholic Movie Guide Podcast, post-Christmas edition. So, you know, Tim doesn't see a lot of new movies, and, you know, everybody's kind of off for Christmas break. It's that weird week between Christmas and New Year's. Maybe you're at work, maybe you're not, but you're not really getting a lot of work done no matter what you're doing. So we thought, you know, why don't we have a podcast that reflects that uneasy leisure time between Christmas and New Year's. You've probably watched It's a Wonderful Life, Muppets Christmas Carol, all the main Christmas movies. Hopefully you've watched Metropolitan by now. If not, you should correct that post-haste. But maybe you're looking for some off-the-board Christmas picks, some picks that maybe aren't among the well-known Christmas classics, but nevertheless contain a Christmassy element. And so we're going to discuss those, ones we didn't focus on in our best of lists a couple weeks back when we did it. Is that all right with you, the Tin Man?
Hey, Wayne.
Yeah. It's me, the Tin Man.
Accompanying us on this journey, would you say it's a journey? I would.
No.
Is a bottle of single barrel strength Four Roses, which we recommend to get you through any holiday gathering.
If you don't have to drive home.
Right. Righto. So I'm going to go ahead and just reel off a few ones I don't think are worthy of extended discussion, but that people should probably know about that I think have something to recommend for them. And you go ahead, since you haven't seen hardly anything, and stop me if you want to add something, okay?
Okay.
All right. One, you ever seen this movie, All I Want for Christmas, 1991?
I ain't never seen it.
It's got like Ethan Embry in it. I think Lauren Bacall's in it. There's some others. It's a really, really sappy holiday movie.
Okay, stop right there. You know who Ethan Embry is?
Yes.
He is the bass player in That Thing You Do.
Okay. Are we going here? That's all right. This is a very young Ethan Embry. And it's a very, very sentimental, schmaltzy Christmas movie about getting two divorced parents back together. And as a child, I ate it up. And I wept like a baby. So I gotta recommend it, if only for nostalgia. But I haven't seen it in like 15 years, so it probably stinks. But
I ain't never seen it.
All right, let's scoot by. The Ref. A lot of people recommend The Ref. I remember this movie because I think it's got a lot to say for it. But I don't remember the strict plot details, except that like Dennis Leary is holding people hostage.
Dennis Spacey. Leary is obnoxious.
He is. He has some good movies, though. You seen Judgment Night?
I ain't never seen it.
I mean, when I say good, I mean it's a stupid action movie, which I'm sure you'd love, but it was a favorite of our dear father, God rest his soul.
I ain't never seen
it. The same father hated The Ref. Moving right along. Gremlins.
Oh my gosh.
You don't feed him after midnight, bro.
I'm so stupid.
If you feed him after midnight, it ain't going to be right. You know what I'm saying?
No, I have no idea. Do the gremlins not know what time it is? There's a change in different time zones. It's ludicrous on its face. The next 11 p.m. is after the previous midnight. What does that mean, after midnight? It's so stupid.
What I'm saying is, if you get them wet, then it's all off with your bet. You know what I'm saying?
No. Do they have something to do with getting wet?
Yeah, you can't do that. You can't feed them. You can't get them wet. There's a lot of rules.
I couldn't make it through.
And one of them was called Gizmo. I will say, yeah, the best part about Gremlins was that shaving thing. That thing was cool.
No, I ain't never seen it.
But you just don't care.
I just hate that stupid. All right. It's so stupid.
So we're gonna scooch past that. We're gonna go to the Santa Claus trilogy.
Nice.
A lot of people live and die by these movies. I tried to watch Santa Claus 1 the other night, and I have to say it leaves a lot to be desired. I see the appeal, but it's just not for me.
Okay, of the three movies, I haven't seen any.
Mm-hmm. But you hate Tim Allen, right?
I'm sure he's a fine man. I don't like his shtick, so to speak.
Okay. So, the other problem I have with that is it's yet another broken family movie. Like, divorced father trying to make good. You know, that's everything. I'm all right. I'm good. Let's see some intact families at Christmas. Yeah. How about that?
Yeah.
And, Fred Claus. Dreadful.
I ain't never seen it.
But it has Vince Vaughn, so I did watch it once.
I would watch it on the basis of a Vince Vaughn appearance.
You would never watch this.
Is it horrible?
It's all right. It's pretty bad.
You know, on that broken family thing. It's pretty terrible. Do you remember our sainted brother, oldest brother? He loves that Jack Frost movie with the execrable Michael Keaton.
Not only is he not sainted, but he's not dead.
Well, I'm the Tin Man.
All right, so we're going to scooch past that. So, yeah, just going right along and getting past that, we're going to, apparently, Lethal Weapon 1 was a Christmas movie or occurred around Christmas time.
That's awesome.
I'm too old for this.
Can I tell you? I mean, really.
Put in your mouth. Yeah,
why am I on this podcast? I hate every movie that normal people like. I hate Lethal Weapon in all of its forms.
You are on this podcast because you're entertaining. And part of your That's entertainment debatable. Is that you're a decrepit old man who hates everything.
I love stuff.
All right. So I'm not going to vouch for that. I don't know. I haven't seen those.
Lowest common denominator. If you have not seen Lethal Weapon, you're missing zero.
I just want to check with you. Is Mel Gibson in that movie?
No.
Okay. So let me go on here. I think that's it for the... Oh. I will not let this pass without mentioning by far the worst Christmas movie in history. If you like it, you need to reevaluate. You need to do some soul searching. Love Actually. That movie is a force for evil in the world.
I prefer the term evil.
It's all sentimentalism and immorality, and it's subversive, and it's you can take your Love Actually, and you can stuff it in a sack.
Mm-hmm. It's made by people who ought to know better, if you get my gist. Now, there is a brief Christmas scene in About a Boy, so if you want to bring that within the ambit, made by the same people, that's a good movie. That's a very entertaining and fun movie.
Right.
With the great Hugh Grant.
And I want no feedback from the peoples about whether these are Christmas movies or not. These are Christmas-ish movies. You may want to watch them when you're sick of the good Christmas movies. So let's go on now to movies I think we should have talked about, but we didn't talk about on the last podcast, okay?
Yeah.
We're going to start with one that I know you love. Really? I know it. And it's Rocky IV, okay?
I do like Rocky IV.
You do not.
I absolutely do.
How do you like that movie?
It was a wonderful movie of my youth.
You hate sports movies. You hate lowest common denominator movies. You hate...
Okay, you want the whole answer. The first Rocky movie, of course, is not really a sports movie. That is one of the classics, okay? So then you get hooked on the franchise. And by the time Rocky IV came around, you just saw it because Rocky IV was out. And I love that... Back then, I loved the whole Brigitte Nielsen, Drago, Soviet, Cold War thing. But then Rocky's pathetic speech at the end of that, of course, was laughable. And in fact, I believe the audience I was in basically did laugh out loud.
Okay, Look, I'm not going to say that I don't believe you, but I don't believe you.
The Tin Man.
Look, okay, fine, whatever. Maybe they laughed, maybe they didn't, but I think actually watching the movie from 2016, it's remarkable that it's actually kind of fair to the Soviets. But anyway, I'm not really into Rocky for the geopolitical implications. I'm in it because he's climbing up mountains, he's got logs on his back, he's got an incredible beard. Throw the beard towel.
He was
all that.
He was followed by the KGB, but he stealthily eluded them.
He did. And so many quotables.
Yeah.
If he dies, he dies.
He fought on Christmas Day.
He's like iron.
Yeah.
They're great.
I think I delivered that line a lot better.
Go ahead.
He is like iron. The great Jack Buck.
Tim just leaned in about 2 feet into the microphone for some reason. That's why that part was so much louder than the rest of the podcast, if anyone cares. If anyone's listening.
I'm sorry.
So Rocky IV, the fight happens on Christmas Day. That's plausible. Just like happening in Russia is plausible.
It's those commies, man. They hate Christ.
Yeah, well, certainly. And yeah, great movie. Great bad movie. We'll go on to a serious oversight. And perhaps the movie that has lived on in my personal life with great affection for the terrible decision that we had to show it at our monthly movie club. And that's Elf, okay?
Elf is a fantastic movie with the hot, quirky Zooey Deschanel.
Go get the She and Him Christmas album. There's Volume 1 that came out a few years ago and Volume 2, which came out this year. It's great.
She's hot.
I think this one's called Christmas Party. I haven't listened to it yet, but it's got to be good. It's got M. Ward.
Now, you know, she's in a scene where Buddy's in the locker room, and she's singing Baby, It's Cold Outside. Now, you don't see anything, but she's in the shower. So she's singing that. I'm thinking, that is a song essentially about the date rape drug. You look up your facts. What? That's totally what it's about. You listen to the lyrics of that song. That is as dirty as it gets.
Quizzical, disappointed look. All right, so yeah, it's a heartwarming modern holiday classic, but I wouldn't recommend showing it in a group of, say, 5 to 10 you know, adult males, it kind of didn't work.
And also, if you have young children, there is if they believe in Santa Claus, as they should, there is a scene where there's about two lines of dialogue that you'll probably want to mute because it'll raise awkward questions.
I was going to say, that's one of the things. It's like, it's all about believing in Santa, but it really would actually reveal that there is no Santa. It's kind of
not necessarily. It reveals that there's a reason to doubt it.
Yeah.
And so then you got to deal with that. Yeah. When in reality, you just want to sit there and drink your chartreuse.
Layers upon layers of Santa issues. So, yeah, but it's funny. Will Ferrell's great. Got it. Bob Newhart steals it in every scene he's in.
You think?
He's great.
He's pretty funny.
You don't like him?
I do.
Do you like the Newhart show? That was good.
Which one?
Exactly. So we're going to go ahead and jump to Trading Places, the great Dan Aykroyd, Eddie Murphy comedy. Caveat, Spector, there is gratuitous nudity because it was the 80s. But other than that, man, it's such a funny movie. So good.
If I could define the 80s in one word, it would be gratuitous nudity.
Mm-hmm. And that would be two words. So that would be impressive if you somehow defined it in one word. That two-word phrase there.
You either deal or you don't. You know what I'm saying? You can follow the Tin Man, or you can just give it up.
Let the people in on your bits that you would do with our brother Dan over this movie.
You know, I used to embarrass my sainted mother at the department stores. You know, they used to have these things called department stores. And we would go there, and I would quote dialogues about you not having any legs, I can see. So I'd wait until we got into an elevator, and I would just start riffing on Eddie Murphy, and it was embarrassing as all get out. But I was young.
The scene where he's talking to the convicts about his limousine and his females, that's just
Didn't I tell comedy. You that the phone in my limousine is busted, and I can't get in contact with my...
And yes, it is a Christmas movie. It happens around the Christmas season, and Dan Aykroyd dons a psychotic Santa outfit. So
definitely I.e. Santa outfit.
Yeah. That one never gets old. It's like, it's not, is it as good as Coming to America? Probably not, but it never gets old.
It is not, but it is great. And that movie, the movie's terrific. Get back out there! Turn those machines back on! Yes. I love that.
So yeah, the old guys kind of make the movie. Don Ameche and the other guy. What's his name?
I know this. Continue on, and I will tell you as you talk.
All right, well, just the fact that they bet a dollar on a man's life is the 80s in a nutshell, I think.
Well, and, you know, they were fairly decent racists, too.
Real racist stuff in there. it's an hilarious picture.
Yes.
All right. Now, what's the guy's name? Yeah. All right, well, I'm going to talk about another guy in the movie who is Clarence Beeks, and that's... The great Paul Gleason.
The great Ralph Bellamy.
There you go. There you did it. Yay, Timmy did it.
Thank you.
Moving on to Paul Gleason, though. He's also in The Breakfast Club. That's probably his best known role. But he's also the dumb, dumb, dumb police officer in Die Hard, which we'll get to later in the podcast. So he is a veritable Christmas institution or half Christmas movie.
He was also in that limited Asian release called The... Can I take that back?
Hashtag racist.
No, let's take that off.
Yeah, sure, I'll take it off. Don't worry about it. What else?
I'm very glad knowing this will not be aired.
I have to say that I just discovered something today about this movie that I had heretofore never known, and I'm going to surprise the Tin Man with it.
Okay, because I've got in my mind a surprise. Go ahead.
As I call him, the Tin Man Z. Chimpanzee, Tim Manzi.
I don't like that.
Well, it works, though.
No.
Right. Giancarlo Esposito.
Really?
The great Gustavo Fring from Breaking Bad.
Really?
Is in this movie. He's one of the cellmates. Can you believe that? I had never realized
that. He must have been 2 years old.
Yeah, I mean, it's crazy, but yeah, he's in it. So that just trebles my love for the movie.
Nice.
Yeah, so we'll go ahead and say that's a Christmas classic. Excise those nude scenes, folks. Not family viewing.
And one of them's a dude.
Awkward. So I'm going to go ahead and now put a plug in for a movie which I know you have not seen and will never see, but which is an institution of my childhood. Jingle All the Way.
I ain't never seen it.
Do you know
it.
Anything about it?
Schwarzenegger?
See? More?
He's a dad who does stupid stuff.
Also stars the original Anakin Skywalker, Jake Lloyd.
Jake Lloyd...
As like the kid from Phantom Menace.
No way.
Yeah. It also stars Sinbad, a favorite of our late father, And it has Phil Hartman, who steals every scene he's in and makes the movie by himself worth watching. It's about a dad who's trying to get a toy. It's all about the commercialization of Christmas versus the family aspects of Christmas. Phil Hartman's like the Uber neighbor who does everything right for his kid and all
that. Hashtag
Uber
neighbor.
It's a bad movie, but it's so good. Won't you watch it, people? It's good. Watch it once.
Okay, so it decries the commercialism of Christmas.
But also
celebrates. So it's like it. 6 minutes long.
Yes, exactly.
Okay.
Good. No, it's a great bad movie. And now we go by the long path to the ultimate. Is it a Christmas movie? Is it a good movie? It's Die Hard. We recently watched this together. Is it a Christmas movie? Is it a good movie? Go.
It is not a Christmas movie.
Wrong!
It is a fairly good movie, but in retrospect becomes great because it's an event.
Okay. So when we watched this with about 19 other guys, 20 guys?
I don't like the way that sounds.
We watched it in a group of people. A group of people watched it. We were in said group.
Yes.
And it played very well. I mean, people were like riotously laughing,
but again,
commenting, etc.
Yes, but that group tends to be, it tends to skew a little.
Well, then what did you mean by it? Because you said it was an event. So I'm just agreeing with you. I don't see the disagreement.
Yeah, I guess. So it's kind of like the Lindbergh baby kidnapping. How good that was depends on your point of view.
It's absolutely nothing like the Lindbergh baby kidnapping.
The great Bruno Hauptmann.
In fact, other than both involving humans, I don't see any similarities.
Well, they're both old.
Well, it's a crowd pleaser. It's also from the 80s and thus has gratuitous nudity, far more than I remembered. There are no fewer than three scenes that have nudity in them.
So. I will say that your Catholic movie guy here had pre-edited the movie while we were watching it. It was hilarious because all of a sudden the movie stops, you think there's a technical glitch, and then all of a sudden old Stevie is saying, well, what happens here is this? And it was a whimsical fraction take on Die Hard.
I improved the movie.
You did.
Thank you.
My quality of life was slightly improved.
That means a lot to me.
Don Quixote.
Tear on cheek. But, the thing about Die Hard is the cops are so stupid. They're unbelievably stupid, which is... I get it. Yeah, cops are dumb. Got it. But, I mean, it's ridiculous. There's not one... I guess, Urkel's stepfather, Reginald Vell Johnson, in a star-making role, is great. He's the good cop, but he has no power.
No, he's the cops don't come off as uniformly stupid, but yeah, almost all of them do. Well, that scene when he comes peeling out in reverse after the body dumps on the ground—that is a fantastic scene. Yeah, you can't help but enjoy it.
Problem is, he drops like five GDs as he's back in that car out of there.
I hate that expression. As you know, it's one of my pet peeves. I can't stand that. But if somebody dumped a dead body on me from a skyscraper and then launched a machine gun at me while I was peeling out in reverse, I might utter the GD.
I'd probably drive backwards for sure.
Yeah.
It may not be my first go-to.
Yeah, I'm sure that other expletives would be in there. I mean, what I'm saying is that, the guy was agitated because they were trying to kill him.
I mean, Bruce Willis, the reason this movie works is, the dialogue's great, but it works because of Bruce Willis. You look at him, the 80s are the time of the action star. Schwarzenegger's like a superhuman steroid-addled guy. Stallone. Those movies are fun for what they are. But Bruce Willis, he's in good shape, but he's nothing like an Adonis. I mean, he's just a regular guy, and he gets caught up in this situation. He's trained. He's smart, but he makes some mistakes. He does some things wrong. He's a very human figure, and that's why the movie works. He's all charisma.
No, it's great. But he sets a bad example for children in the movie by smoking excessively.
That is a real consideration. Thank you for that.
You're welcome.
He also sets a bad example for all men by wearing a wife beater.
He did, but he never beat his wife. He never did.
Well, not on screen, but he pulled it off.
Yeah.
What else? What else do I want to say about this movie? It has the great Robert Davi in it.
Yes, and he is
noted Bob
one of the Johnsons.
Yes, and he has what I like to call Tommy Lee Jones face with the crags in his face. He's all man. He's great. And Alan Rickman is a scene stealer whenever he's on. He transcends the movie.
Yeah, he's good. He's real good.
So that's that, Tim. Any parting thoughts as we head into this Christmas season? We're gonna keep the podcast short and sweet because I'm sure you want to get back to like that Canasta game you're playing with your family, or
you didn't mention whatever. While you were sleeping. Is that we talked intentional? About it last time. We did. Okay, well, it bears mentioning again. It is one of the great romantic comedies, and it's a Christmas movie.
And it has Sandra Bullock in it. I'm not gonna say if she's attractive or not, because I got a little blowback from the Catholic movie gal commenting on Amy Adams.
Are you? Oh, Amy Adams. Oh, baby.
Yeah, she's
very nice.
She's a very nice lady. And
yes. Yes.
Hello?
Hello.
Hey, how are you?
Great, how are you?
I'm doing pretty well. Did you know that I have a podcast?
I hear things.
Okay. Well, on the podcast today, Tim and I were talking about like Christmas movies that are off the beaten path that we didn't talk about really on the first one, but that we wanted to, you know, get on the record to talk about.
Yeah, so, there's a lot of Christmas movies out there.
So you listened to that first podcast, right?
I sure did.
And
I listened to all your podcasts, sweetie.
Oh, that's right, Schmoopy. Did you think of any movies that we didn't talk about that you'd like to mention as Christmas favorites of yours?
We were talking about it the other night. I don't remember. I don't know. Yes? No? No, I don't remember.
So you
Did
don't
I mention something?
No, I'm asking you. It's a real question. It's not a bit.
Yeah, I know. I know it's not a bit, and I'm telling you, I really don't remember. I can't think of anything right now. I'm on the spot here.
What about Santa Claus 3, The Escape Clause?
I don't think I ever saw it.
Have you seen this?
My weird obsession with Christmas, all things Christmas.
Have you seen this movie, All I Want for Christmas? It's from like 1991. It's about this. Two kids are trying to.
Twins?
No, they're trying to get their divorced parents to back together. It's got Ethan Embry in it.
Oh, back when he was a kid.
Yeah.
Yes.
Do you remember this?
No, I don't think I remember it, but I don't think I've never seen it. No.
I'm starting to think maybe I like fever dream the movie because apparently no one else has seen this.
Oh no, I remember. I recall it, but I think a lot of people probably convolute that with the Jonathan Taylor Thomas one where he drives home with what is it, Al Bundy or whatever his name is.
All right, well, just name one bad Christmas movie that you know I would never want to watch that you like.
We already talked about it, White Christmas.
Well, I'm going to go ahead and ask you the definitive question that you have to answer right, or our marriage may be in danger.
Okay, go ahead.
Is Die Hard a Christmas movie or not?
Yes.
I love you.
I love you, too.
Bye.
Bye.
I guess that's it, Tim. Are you sure that there's no other Christmas movie you'd like to mention as we end the podcast?
Well, not that we didn't mention last week. Of course, Metropolitan.
No, we already talked about that. And that's it. So, I guess I'm going to go ahead and say it. Merry Christmas.
Yes, and remember, Christmas starts on Christmas Day. And goes all the way to the feast of the Purification of Mary on February 2nd. For you N-O-ers out there, that's the presentation.
I'm going to go ahead and say, at least keep the Christmas spirit through the Epiphany, won't you? Celebrate Twelfth Night. It's very traditional. It's, read Twelfth Night. Do whatever you want.
Yeah.
It's all good.
That's right, Wayne.
I'm out.